We'll see you after a little bit. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I want to get into the Word tonight. And when we're talking about reflecting the presence of the Lord, where is the presence of the Lord? Well, the presence of the Lord is inside us. But we have a job and a duty to be reflecting that to the world. In other words, live what you are proclaiming. And if you're living what you're proclaiming, people will recognize it. You've heard the old saying, it goes kind of like this. If you'll catch on fire, somebody will come and watch you burn. I know you're thinking, well, I don't want to catch on fire. Well, the fire of the Holy Spirit, okay? How many of y'all have ever driven by a car that's on fire or some fire that's happening and you just can't help but look? People will pull over and stop. We were on the highway one night coming home, and there was you can see it. It's pitch black out on the interstate, and there's a vehicle that caught on fire. And it's lighting up the sky, and you're like, what in the world is going on? And they're trying to put it out, you know, but as we drove by way over on this side, it was off the side of the road. I don't know what happened, probably a fuel or oil leak, something, and it ignited. Nobody was in the car. But when you drove by, even with the windows shut, the heat was so intense you could feel it. That's hot. And you can't help but look. There's something about fire. You can do it. You can have a campfire. And how many people just stand around and look at the fire? Have you ever done it? Sure you've done it. And there's just something intriguing about flames, because there's energy, there's power there, there's of course heat, the way the flames appear to lick, it's just intriguing. Well, when you get turned on to the things of God in your life, and people begin to see something different in you, they will be drawn to you, they'll be attracted to you. And really, with the whole bottom line point in mind being that then you can share the gospel with them. If we don't share the gospel with people, but all we do is start getting turned on to the Word and we start getting on fire, so to speak, and then we just start just talking with folk but never really bringing them the Word, that will be very, very short-lived. Because the point of it is to point people to Jesus. Okay, so we need to get turned on to the Word and let that burn in us so much that it affects the way we conduct our lives on a day-by-day-by-day basis. Now, we've been looking at the subject of having the Lord open up our eyes so that we can see Jesus. And if I can see who Jesus is, then I can understand who I am in Him. People that don't know who they are in Christ are in a place of disadvantage. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, you can be run over by a whole lot of different things. The devil can convince you it was God's will that you get sick. It's God's will that that terrible thing happened in your life. It's God's will that, you know, you be bankrupted. It's God's will that this happened. It's God's will. It's God's will. It goes on and on and on. But people that don't recognize who they are in Jesus will never know the rights that they have in and through the blood that He shed. So I have to be having my eyes opened up so I can see Jesus for who He really is. And the Spirit of God will do that, not only in me, but in you. And as we see who Jesus is, then we can understand who we are in Him. Because everything that He has given over to the church to function and to flow in, with the end result being He wants the world to come to know Him. And He doesn't want to have to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That will be a very, very sad day. And it is going to happen. There will be those that will just never turn and live for the Lord. And so once that day is done, there's no more crying there. Oh, but the Lord will shed a tear when He has to send people to an eternity in hell because they never accepted the pathway of life. And that being receiving Jesus into their heart. That is not going to be a happy day for Him. Some people are sitting around thinking, well, you know, they're going to get what they deserve. Yes, that's true. People will get what they deserve. But it is not going to be a day of rejoicing for the Lord, certainly. And for you and I, we shouldn't be rejoicing in people's, ending up being cast into the lake of fire for eternity. That's not going to be a happy thing. So we need to be understanding that while we're here on the earth, we need to be sharing the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads men and women to repentance. Amen? All right, so we are, you have your Bibles open? Well, if you don't, open them up. I just want to jump down here in these notes to last time, and of course, Pastor John spoke last week, so I watched it with you. The last time I spoke about this, we talked about what the Spirit of the Lord will do. Number one, we said he will tell us what Jesus says. Number two, he'll bring us what Jesus has. And number three, he will show us who Jesus is. So everything the Holy Spirit does, he receives from Jesus. Okay? So if we want to honor the Spirit of God, a lot of people are like, well, we want to honor the Lord. We want to honor the Spirit of the Lord. How do you do that? Well, you have to understand that you need to be very, very keenly and in a white-hot sort of way interested and involved in lifting up Jesus. I'll tell you, because that's what the Holy Spirit is all about, lifting up Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men, right? How is that going to happen? How will he draw all men unto himself? If he's lifted up where? In your life, as an ambassador. If he's lifted up in your life, my goodness, if you're lifting up Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that's what he wants to manifest, that presence when you're lifting up Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is interested in doing. So if you're lifting up Jesus in your life, it will cause people to recognize something very, very good is going on around here. Amen. In your life. Thank you, Lord. So everything that the Holy Spirit does, he receives from Jesus. Now, we talked about what glory actually is, glory defined, and that which expresses what a person is about is one simple way of putting it, an act or trait that exemplifies the character of that person, the works or essence, the being of God. I mean, the Greek word is doxa, D-O-X-A. For glory, and it speaks of the presence of God. It expresses his power and virtue, his moral excellence. It brings out the fact that he's a holy God. When you and I reflect the holiness of God, if you're reflecting his glory in any degree, that glory points to his holiness. His presence is always holy. When the Holy Spirit manifests himself, it's always a holy atmosphere. He will not manifest himself in a place where nobody cares about Jesus, where nobody cares or really doesn't even want him to manifest. You know, that's why there's some churches where they haven't seen a miracle one in 100 years. Why? Because they don't really want the manifestation of that goofy stuff, like some people think. So they go, they sit there, they think just sitting there is going to make them a believer, make them a Christian. That doesn't happen. That's not what it's about. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We are here and we should be interested in promoting who Jesus is. And that should be in your life every day, every single day. The Lord spoke to me today about the abject, and he put it this way, there's an abject disinterest in the Word of God in the church today. Now that is a very condemning statement. An abject disinterest in the Word of God. Take it or leave it. I'm saved, I know it. How do you know it? You know, I mean, people come along with this, well, I'm saved, I know it. I don't care about ever going to church or reading the word or getting into praising God or anything like that. I'm just, you know, they want fire insurance. I think there's a time coming where the manifestations of the Holy Spirit will occur in a greater degree, and it's going to drive some people to their knees, and others are going to rise up with a pride and say, I'm not going down that road. And I'm, you know, I'm not the judge, and neither are you, but the Word of God is. And it points to people that at some point in their life, there's going to be a time to make a decision to either jump in with both feet or to turn tail and run. And sad enough to say, there will be those that turn tail and run. They don't want any of that wildfire. Man, if you were walking around with the Apostle Paul, you would have seen some wildfire. Amen? If you were walking with the Master himself, I mean, where, you know, they're like, Jesus, you know, don't go up there and touch that casket. Just leave that, you know. Jesus walks up and lays his hand on that, touches that casket of that boy that had died. Or when he threw everybody out of the house that time with the young maiden and they laughed him, the Bible said, to scorn. Oh, yeah. There was opportunity for the disciples. In fact, some of them, the Bible said, turned and walked no more with him. Very, very sad. It's in John chapter 6. I'm going to throw, I think it's verse 66. Let me see. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Isn't that interesting? It's John 6, 66. Interesting. John 6, verse 66. Many turned and walked no more. These were people that were walking with Jesus and turned and walked no more with him. Why? Because of the things that were happening. Embarrassment is not of God. Embarrassment, in fact, is kin to fear. Now, we won't go down that road right now, but if people get embarrassed by Jesus, I question where their heart's at. Again, I'm not the final judge, but I'm a fruit inspector from time to time, just like you. What's that all about? You know, what the, you're embarrassed to let people know you're a Christian? Whew, wow. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. That's where I want you to go. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at something here. We need to be interested in lifting up the name of Jesus. His church is to be a glorious church. That means one that is walking in the glory. One that is walking in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Look at verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. You see that? Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, a church with glory and holiness. Do not discount the walk of holiness. There has been too much unholy living in the church. And then wonder why the Spirit of God can't manifest in a group, a congregation, you know, a fellowship, a prayer group, whatever the case may be. He can't manifest himself. He would like to, but he can't because there's too much ungodliness and too much unholiness. He won't manifest himself in a place where people are holding hands with the enemy. Amen. Now, I know that sounds kind of harsh, amen, but it is the truth. We need to have a hunger, a divine hunger, a thirst. So you should be hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Not a, I don't need it. I'll watch a sitcom instead. I'm tired. That's the only day I get to sleep. It's not that important. That should not be in the church today. I am hearing it from pastors that have 10,000 people in their church, talking about how folks are just becoming very docile regarding the things of God. This is a very, very dangerous thing to start, a road to start down. Becoming, I don't really care. I could care less. Can you care less? I think the proper way to say that, which is not good, but I couldn't care less. That means you're caring as the least amount that you can about how important it is to live holy before God. We're not doing that. I know that. I know that. But if the glory is to manifest, there has to be the name of Jesus being lifted up and a hunger and a thirst. I can feel when the anointing is being pulled on. There are other times when it feels like, and you can sense it yourself, when it's like, it's just going in one ear out, the other hitting off a wall, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So that's why it's very exciting to me when I'm ministering and somebody is pulling on the anointing. That's important. Pull on the anointing. Pull on it. You have to draw on it. You have to be hungry, be thirsty, be enthused. Be in that place in your life or at that place in your life where you can't get enough word. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. So if we're going to bring the glory of the Lord on the scene, you can go back and look, and there are some instances in the Old Testament when Moses had the glory of the Lord manifest in front of him. Now remember, Moses was unregenerated. Moses was not born again in the sense of how you and I are born again. Jesus hadn't come, lived a sinless, spotless life, and died. He had to die to provide the new birth. The death of the testator has to happen before the testament can go into effect. And so Jesus hadn't died. So Moses was not saved like you and I are. In fact, the scripture makes mention of that, of the glory that was upon Moses. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 7 through 8, the Young's literal translation of a portion of that verse reads this way: how shall the ministration of the Spirit not be more in glory? If what you saw in Moses seemed glorious, how shall the ministration of the Spirit not be more in glory? In other words, when Christians get a hold of the fact that the glory of the Lord is on the inside of them, and we learn to walk and flow in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how much more glorious will it be than what Moses had on him? He put the veil over his face because what he had was fading away. We thought he put it over his face because it was so powerful. No, he put it over his face because he didn't want him to see that it was fading away. You can go back and read that. That's literally what happened. So, how shall the ministration of the Spirit not be more in glory? It should be much, much greater in the New Testament church today. I was driving along today, and then I was out here during the day as well this morning, praying in the Spirit, just doing what we were talking about on Sunday to make sure that my spirit man has control over this soul thing. Right? I'm telling you, the more you do that, the stronger you get, and the more in control of these thoughts your spirit man has. I want the Holy Spirit controlling my thoughts. I don't want the devil being able to inject stuff into my thoughts throughout the day because I have my guard down all the time. You got to keep your guard up. So pray in the Spirit. Do it without hesitating. Do it every day. Spend time doing that. And that is part and parcel when you do to keeping an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can then minister to you. It's so important. In the book of Exodus, chapter 33 and 34, this is where Moses was with the Lord. And that's when he said, "Show me your glory." You remember? And he said, "I'll let all my goodness pass before thee." But he hit him in the cleft of a rock. And then he see, and what did the Lord tell Moses? "You will see my hinder parts," in other words, the back parts. And he saw the back parts of God. Man, serious. The Bible is very plain about not being able to look into the face of God. You cannot look into the face of God and live. You know, throughout the years, I felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit in a powerful way in my life. And there are times when, you know, you pray for folks, just ministering the word and the anointing is strong. It'll drain your physical flesh. It'll make you feel like, I mean, somebody said, well, I thought he was surcharging you. When the glory's flowing through you, that power is much greater than anything you and I are about in any way, shape, or form. And it will drain you physically. I have had some of the best night's sleep after I have laid hands on people and prayed or spent time praying in the Spirit over and the anointing was flowing heavily. You lay down, it's like, my goodness sakes, boom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So in bringing the glory of the Lord on the scene, we'll close with this. Well, first thing we need to do is walk in the ministry of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16. You're right there, just next door. We just need to finish this up, so let's go. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, part of this walking in the Spirit is what I'm talking about in praying in the Spirit. My Spirit by the Holy Spirit within me, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, does the praying. That's the amplified version of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. My Spirit by the Holy Spirit within me, he prays. The Holy Spirit in you prays. So if you're going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, it is going to be because you are turning yourself over to the ministry of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. And that involves praying in tongues every day of the week, period. So if you don't pray in tongues yet, then you need to, okay? You can't, and we've talked about this before, you don't make up praying in tongues. You get quiet before the Lord, ask him to fill you. You're a born-again believer. Ask him to fill you and make that declaration. I will receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I will speak in other tongues. Somebody said, well, I don't know what to say. How do you say it? What words do you say? Like anything, when it's new or when you begin in something, it starts out small and in time gets bigger. How many of y'all remember your first job? How much money did you make? Somebody tell me. Your first job. Per hour. $1. How much? $2.40. Wow, that was pretty good. Mine was $2.05. Good night. $5 a week. $5 a week. Woo. Okay. Jerry, you make $1 an hour now? Yeah, right. At least. $2.40 an hour, $5 a week, Dr. Smith? I don't think so. You started out, and at the time, it seemed like, man, you know, wow. I remember when I get a paycheck for 2 weeks, and it was just under $80. And I was like, well, I only had 40 hours in 2 weeks, you know, at $2.05 an hour. You know, and it was like, but at that time, it seemed like I was rich. You remember? You can't, I mean, crying out loud, when the church first started our first year in existence in 1988, that was a partial year, but let's say 1989, that first year, I think the church did about $40,000 in the whole year. Well, that seems like, okay, but if we took in $40,000 in a year right now, are you kidding me? I mean, we'd be in trouble. Amen. So, yeah. But here's the thing about it. When you start, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to speak in other tongues. It may just be one word. It may just be one sound. I got one little tiny word when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now my vocabulary is, I mean, golly, the Lord, you just let it flow, and it just starts to flow. And it's not always the same. I knew a guy, he said, well, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, he told me. And I was like, okay, well, praise God. You know. But when he would pray in tongues, he would just tick like a bomb. And I was like, that's not, whatever, maybe it is. You know, I don't know. I struggled with the tick, 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 tick in a prayer meeting. You know, maybe it was like Morse code or something. I don't know. It's funny, you know, I mean, when you think of somebody ticking, but there are some people that communicate with ticks, I suppose. But whatever. Let's leave it alone. Yeah, okay, got it. But it said speak in tongues, not tick in tongues. You know what I'm saying? So, but when you start, it may just be one word. Okay, so let it grow, but it'll grow as you submit yourself over. Number two, proclaim Jesus, talk about Jesus, proclaim his name. That's what you have to do in your life. If we're going to reflect the glory of God and have the glory of God manifest in us, then that's what we need to do. We need to be about walking in the Spirit on a daily basis, paying attention to the things of the Spirit, proclaiming Jesus, talking about Jesus. Why? The Holy Spirit's interested in lifting up Jesus. That's what he does. And third, pronounce Jesus' goodness. He's good. That's why do you think we say that? He's a good God. He's a good God. You'll never receive if you think he's not a good God. You will never receive from God who you think is trying to kill you. He's not the one that's your trouble. He's not the one who's your problem. But in order for us to have his glory flow in us and through us, we have to make ourselves available. And on a daily basis of praying in the Spirit, making yourself available, that's where the opportunities arise. That's where the opportunity arises. I need this card. Go ahead, stand to your feet tonight, please. That's where the opportunities arise for the Holy Spirit to speak into you. But you have to give yourself over to him. Not just when you're getting ready to come to church or you're going to have a meeting of some sort or whatever it may be. It depends. I mean, some of y'all teach and preach and praise God for that. But it needs to be every single day. Whether you're teaching and preaching or not or going to church or not, every single day, some time praying in the Spirit. It builds you up on your most holy faith. It also continues to give the lead to the Holy Spirit working through your spirit to control this part of you, this soul that wants to flip over to the things of the flesh from time to time. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, bow your head with me. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight for your glory. We thank you and give you praise this evening for living in us. And the fellowship that we enjoy in and through, oh, your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for such vivid understanding of the word, such clear communication that we understand when you're speaking to us and that we hear your voice and the voice of strangers we're not going to listen to nor follow. We're going to be tuned in to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, so I thank you. It's so simple to take some time before you, and just listen for what the Lord is saying. And Father, we just praise you tonight, give you glory for the dissolving of sickness, the dissolving of poverty, the dissolving of trouble that has infiltrated relationships, even marriages. For the dissolving, the grinding to powder of the things that the enemy has meant to come and destroy. And Father, thank you for reports of victory. Thank you for reports of healing and deliverance and Lord God, just supernatural provision. We thank you for that tonight and we give you glory for it, sir, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you all agree with that if you do say amen?